Machines have been replacing human workers for generations. In the early 1800s, there was a group of English workers that were so opposed to the introduction of looms and mills that they started going around the countryside destroying them. Those people were called Luddites, and we still call people who are against technology and industrialization a Luddite. And as humanity progresses and we replace manual labor with machine labor, we've always found new jobs, new ways to remain employed. But with the advent of artificial intelligence and machine learning, there are some industrialists that are echoing the sentiments of the Luddites. Will humanity finally be put out of work for good? I'm Joey Lombardi, and this is SourceCast, episode number 44. Before we get to our main story, let's review the acquisitions that have taken place over the last 2 weeks. SAP has bought Internet of Things software developer Plat One. This marks the start of SAP's plan to invest over $2 billion in the Internet of Things over the next 5 years. Salesforce picked up a company called Krux for $700 million. Krux, which already has an existing relationship with Salesforce, is expected to bolster the company's ability to better identify and serve its cloud software customers. The last few weeks has also shown a backlash of some acquisitions. The most famous, of course, is Twitter. We've been talking about the potential Twitter acquisition for the last 3 weeks, and Salesforce is officially out of the game. Investors reacted very negatively to the idea of Salesforce picking up Twitter. The stock dropped, and then on the news that Salesforce was completely out of the game, the stock rebounded. Oracle continues to struggle to acquire NetSuite. Many have accused Larry Ellison of insider trading because of his existing relationships with NetSuite and also artificially suppressing the price. Oracle is basically stating if they can't get the deal done soon, they're going to walk away. And going back to Salesforce, they're trying to put a stop to Microsoft's acquisition of LinkedIn. Salesforce has been complaining to the European Commission about Microsoft's purchase of LinkedIn. It seems that Salesforce is worried that Microsoft will block access to LinkedIn's vast store of professional data, and it wants the EU to either block the acquisition, which is unlikely, or put conditions on the deal to allow access, which is also unlikely, but more plausible. And another deal that's going south, potentially, is Verizon's acquisition of Yahoo. Because of Yahoo's massive security breach, Verizon wants a $1 billion discount off the price. I really can't say that I blame them. On to our main topic. Over the last 4 months on this podcast, certain themes have been developing. We talk a lot about acquisitions. We talk about artificial intelligence and what that means for human workers.
They took our job!
We discuss cloud and moving from existing data centers to cloud-based solutions. And I generally like to talk about software that makes our jobs easier. And all of these topics play off of each other. During the summer, acquisitions were the hot topic. There wasn't news of new development, really. It was just who's selling, who's buying, and what does that mean for the customers who have to buy and use these services and technologies. As we got into the fall and the frenzy of acquisitions seemed to slow down a little bit, we're seeing the ramifications of that. And we've covered the elimination of thousands of jobs, and over the last 2 weeks, even more were announced. We've mentioned that Dell was planning to downsize once they acquired EMC. Those layoffs are starting to happen right now. But Hewlett-Packard Inc. just announced the elimination of up to 4,000 jobs as well. This is attributed to the softness of the PC market. And as we hear stories of artificial intelligence being brought into hospital rooms like at Jefferson University in Philadelphia, and virtual hotel assistants at Marriott, and purchasing assistants at Macy's, you're starting to see the proliferation of potential job eliminators, not only in the IT industry, but in retail, hospitality, and even in the medical industry.
Like the guardian!
The inventors of this technology, the people who are selling this technology, have frequently stated that it is not their intention to eliminate jobs, only to enhance, to make doctors' jobs easier, to make hotel managers' jobs easier. They want to make technology easier to implement within these institutions and organizations. And here's where we stop and say, in some degree, the Luddites were right. The mill and looming technology made it easier to make clothes, reduced the price, and there wasn't a need for as many people to make clothing. And they were not pragmatic in their approach initially to find new means of employment. They just decided to go around and start breaking machines. And we talked about the quote-unquote threat of artificial intelligence 2 weeks ago on the podcast, and I don't think that human beings are going to run around taking a crowbar to a large AI machine or mainframe. So that leaves us with pragmatism. Job A goes away. What do you become for job B? It's the same story over and over again. What is the thing that the machine is not good at? What is the thing that the place that you're outsourcing those jobs to is not good at? Become that thing. What can they not replace? But what happens when they can replace that?
Oh, they took her job!
A question was posed to IBM CEO Ginni Rometty, asking if her job could be replaced as CEO. There's a quote from Forbes.com that says there's a straight line from the number of jobs IBM eliminates and its stock price. If Watson becomes a friendly assistant that charges for its pedantic services, IBM will fail. But if Watson enables large-scale labor replacement, IBM stock will rise. Of course, Rometty doesn't say that a computer could replace her or could replace your job. But IBM is banking on their technology being able to come in, reduce jobs, and make companies more efficient. That's the true selling point of Watson. It's not there yet. And humans have always done a good job of staying ahead of their technology. Farmers move to factories, and then those factory workers turn to service jobs. But we will reach a point when a computer and a machine in combination can do almost everything that a human can do. And we may have 100 years before it's completely in place, but we need to think about what a post-work world looks like in human society. Will it be like Star Trek, where everyone is leisurely hanging out in San Francisco? And maybe you send a bunch of people off into space because they have nothing else better to do?
There are really two fundamental paths. One path is we stay on Earth forever, and then there will be some eventual extinction event. The alternative is to become a spacefaring civilization and a multi-planet species. Why Mars? They're remarkably close in a lot of ways.
Or is it the Terminator scenario? And that's an extreme outcome. But it's not the computers and the machines you have to fear in that future. It's the boredom. Another aspect of this technology change is information. Information is a big part of IBM's solution. Information seems to be a big part of where Cisco and Oracle are going. They're establishing these cloud solutions. All this information theoretically will matriculate into the cloud, and now you will have such an overwhelming amount of information, you won't know what to do with it. Now you use artificial intelligence and machine learning for the analytics and data that you have now stored. You will have billions or trillions of points of data to help make better decisions. And for a while, before the computers take that over, this theoretically will be a sweet spot for humans. Analyze the data that the machine is giving you, the trends that it is discovering, and make better decisions for your business. Sometimes people don't make the connection between the Internet of Things and the analytics portion. The Internet of Things is just going to collect massive amounts of data about how people do everything. Your Fitbits, your health bands, those crockpots that they sell now that are connected to the internet. All of that data is going somewhere. All of that data will be used as triggers for you to buy more stuff or for companies to make better things that are more reactive to the trends that they're discovering and the data that they're accumulating. That was a tongue twister. And it's exciting. I'm not knocking that at all. For the first time in human history, all these little micro decisions and acts that we do can be analyzed and studied. It's a psychologist's dream, really. There's an end game there. Like anything, you're going to reach such a high degree of efficiency that the cost of improving further is astronomical. Luckily, we're not there yet, so we can keep improving until way further down the line, we just hire a bunch of computers to maintain the status quo.
They took our jobs!
Now we'll shift over to some news that you can use, and we'll keep it with this week's theme, how to pull workers back from the brink of burnout. And it actually ties into what I just said. CNBC recently reported that a Stanford University study found that employee productivity falls off the cliff after 55 hours of work per week. Many companies have recently realized this fact and have been encouraging workers to shut down, to relax. But it goes back to what I said earlier. At a certain point, you hit a margin. It doesn't matter how hard you work, you never get past that point from an organizational perspective, not from a personal level. They've certainly been seeing that in Japan with the salarymen too. So I guess the moral of this story is, after your 40 or 50 hours of work per week, kick back and enjoy your automated Alexa as you ask her to change the thermostat and play some music and use your Roomba to vacuum your house and hope that that drone delivery service kicks in soon and your pizza will be arriving in the next 15 minutes. What a wonderful world indeed. And that's all we have for this week. As a reminder, you can find Sourcecast on iTunes, Google Music, and all of your favorite podcasting applications. Sourcecast is recorded in bucolic Mantua, New Jersey, and is produced and recorded by me. Music has been provided by Google. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.